Is there a certain area in your life right now that needs extra attention and extra focus? What I want to share with you today, I wish someone would have taught me when I was 18, 19, 21, 22 years old. I wish I'd have learned this a long time ago in school, college. I wish I'd have heard a preacher or a youth minister talk about this. But think about this. Is there a certain area in your life right now and you know deep down it's going to require you to give it extra focus and extra attention? There's something you have to deal with. There's something you have to face. There's something that you have to overcome, and you know it's coming. I have to give this area of my life extra attention and extra focus. This morning, we continue with our current series, and I want to name this series Hindsight Foresight. And the main reason why is so we could answer two really important questions. The first question is this on the screen. What lessons can I learn by looking back to my past? You and I are always told, don't go back, don't look back, go forward, stop going back. But sometimes it's good and necessary to look back because, and I told you this a couple of months ago, experience doesn't make us smarter, it doesn't make us stronger, experience doesn't make us wiser, but evaluated experience makes us wiser, and evaluated experience makes us stronger. And so sometimes it's good to look back on your past and evaluate those experiences so you can learn lessons. And when you do look back, what lessons can you learn by evaluating your past experiences? Hindsight. The second question is this: how can those past lessons help you make choices today that'll build a stronger life for you tomorrow? There are so many things that you can and that you will do this next year, but what's the one thing, and there is one thing, what's the one thing that you absolutely must do? What's the one thing that you absolutely must face and must deal with? But because we ask that question, you also have to think about this question: what's the one thing that you must avoid that's going to hold you back from accomplishing that one thing? So, foresight. What must I do to go forward in my life? And more importantly, what's the one thing that I must avoid that's going to hold me back from keeping me doing that one thing that'll pull me forward in this life? And I guess you could say it this way, that over the next couple of weeks, I just really want to share with you the most personal lessons that I've learned in my life that have really helped me grow, helped me become strong, and helped me overcome. And I really think because they're so personal, they'll be very helpful to you. Last week, we talked about this. What do you do when your heart's crushed and you suddenly realize that my dreams for my life will not come true? We talked about this. Some of the most phenomenal people that you will ever meet in your life are people who go through a hell on earth and they stay steady and focused and faithful to Jesus anyway. As they walk through the valley, as they walk through the fire, as they go through hell on earth, they still hold on to God and they still love Jesus. Some of the most phenomenal people that you'll ever meet go through hell on earth, but they love God anyway. And that's what we do. And so today we move on with a different lesson, another lesson, another crucial lesson that has been so, so helpful to me. Now, in my notes on my phone, I have all of my online passwords written down and saved because I'm getting old, I'm 44, I have multiple sclerosis, and if I sleep today, I'll forget everything and I won't remember anything tomorrow. So I have to write down all of my passwords. And when you start looking at your passwords, it's amazing how many things that you need a digital password for. Like I need and I have passwords for my home security, my email accounts, my social media, online banking, online bills, and of course the necessities, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, Ticketmaster, PayPal, OnStar, and of course the even greater necessities, waiter and DoorDash, amen. You gotta have passwords for them, and you gotta have both, because sometimes the waiter is slower than DoorDash, and sometimes DoorDash slower than waiter, so you gotta kinda get on there, and then all of my AT&T accounts, all that kind of stuff, and honestly, most of them are just different versions of the same password. The same password, but sometimes it'll have something capitalized, or maybe a symbol, or a number added at the end of it. But regardless, I have to write them down because if I don't, I will forget. I have to write down my address, have to write down my phone number because if I don't, I will forget. So the other day, I needed to get into my Amazon Prime account, so I'm putting in my password that I found in my notes. And I do this over and over again, and every time it gets rejected. Wrong password, invalid password, it's not working. So I continue to do this because I know this is the right password. It must be because I wrote it down in my notes. And right before I gave up and quit, got kicked out, have to reset my password, I thought, well, I'm going to try one final thing, one small thing, one simple thing. I'm going to take that first capitalized letter in my password and change it to a lowercase and see if that works. And it worked right away. One small change, one simple thing, one simple change, and that allowed it to work. And in a similar way, sometimes to make major forward progress and growth in our life, sometimes you only need to do one thing. One small, simple change in your life. One small, simple thing, and it'll set your life up to develop the life that you prefer for your future. It'll set your life up to make rapid growth Rapid progress. Now, this is something I know is true about you because I know this is true about me. And this is what I'm going to share with you this morning. If you're still with me, I'm still with you. Something I know that we're all dealing with today, something we all have in common is this. We're all very easily distracted. Amen? Now, one of the reasons that I learned to share a lot of information in a short amount of time is because when I first started preaching, I was a youth minister for 9 years. And so I had to learn how to connect with kids, teenagers, who were always picking their nose and rolling their boogers and flicking on each other when I'm talking. And so that was back in the 90s, though, and we had an MTV generation back then. Every 5 minutes, a brand new video. So every 5 minutes, I had to change my talks to capture their attention. Now we don't have videos. Now we have smartphones, all kind of stuff. So every second, you have to capture their attention. But back then, I had all these teenagers. And I had to capture their attention because they're easily distracted. Be honest with you, sometimes I'm easily distracted. I can be talking to someone after church and they're telling me something important, and in my mind I can see a nose hair flopping out of their nose, and I'm thinking, man, I want to pluck that thing for them right now. They're telling me about their divorce and their heartache, and I'm like, man, I'm going to pluck your nose hair out of your nose right now. And even in my own sermon, about 15 minutes in, I'm wanting to pick my nose and be like, man, I'm bored in what I'm talking about too. But here, we all have this in common. You and I are all very easily distracted. But, and remember this today, you're still with me, Sam, still with you. Notice this on the screen, and this is really a game changer if we realize this. The things that we get distracted by, the things that we get distracted by are never as important as the thing that we usually get distracted from. So we have these smaller things in our life that we get distracted by, and most of the time they're never as important as the one thing that we must do and the one thing that we get distracted from. All these distractions, they're not all bad, and most of the time they're pretty good, but they're not as important. They're important, but they're not as important as the one crucial thing that you must face in your life. And losing focus in certain areas of your life usually isn't that big of a deal, but there are certain areas in your life, and there are certain seasons in your life that require extra focus and extra attention. And if you lose your focus in these areas of your life, then 5 or 10 years down the road, and most people who have been there will tell younger people this, 5 or 10 years down the road, if you lose your focus in certain areas, you'll wake up one day and you'll ask these questions. How did I end up here? How did I end up in so much debt? How did I end up so sick? How did I end up so alone? How did I end up with all of this tension? I had a different plan for my life. What happened to me? How did I end up here? This wasn't my dream. So perhaps there's something in your life right now, an area that needs extra special focus and extra attention. There may be that one thing that's affected almost everything else in your life. For instance, notice this on the screen. It could be that habit that you need to break, or that project that you need to finish. Regardless, if you don't deal with it, it's going to continue to affect everything else in your life. Next slide. It could be that relationship that needs to be restored, or that toxic relationship that you need to retire. Whatever it is, it's affecting everything else in your life, and this is what's most pressing right now. This is what's most crucial right now. It could be something else. Next slide. It could be that debt that you need to pay off, or giving more to others and allowing God to use you through generosity. I don't know what it is for you, but whatever it is, it's going to require extra attention and extra focus. You don't want what's urgent today to rob you of the future that you want for your life tomorrow. So if there's something or some goal or some area in your life and you know that you need help getting this area of your life across the finish line, then what I'm going to share with you this morning, one simple statement, one simple phrase that I give you today will be so helpful to get that area, that crucial area of your life across the finish line. Now, a long time ago, I ran across this phrase in the Old Testament. I ran across this statement in the book of Nehemiah, and it taught me a valuable lesson. And this one lesson that I've learned in my life from this one small, simple phrase has gotten me through stress, family challenges, health challenges, time challenges, temptation challenges, mental challenges, emotional challenges, challenges with temptations, whatever I'm going through. This one statement has kept me from going into the ditch in my life and several other areas of my life. This one statement has been so powerful, so simple, so freeing, and so profound in my life. And I found this statement in the book of Nehemiah. But first, let me give you some background. If you're still with me, Sam's still with you. The prophet Nehemiah was in exile in the Persian Empire around 444 BC. 300 years earlier, Israel had been conquered. They lost their land, and so empire after empire just devastated Israel. The northern kingdom of Judah tore down the temple, the city walls, the city gates, and it really just left the land and the city and the people open for attack. They were vulnerable. And so at this time, the Persian Empire takes over the world, and the Persian Empire tells all the Jewish exiles that have been slaves in Egypt and slaves in other empires, y'all can go back home to your land. So many people leave the Persian Empire, Jewish people. They go back to Israel. They go back to Judah. Some stay in Persia. But when this remnant goes back to their land, they find that their land has been utterly destroyed. The temple's been destroyed, and all the city walls and all the city gates have been completely torn down. Now, Nehemiah had no idea what was going on because him and his family had stayed back in Persia. But sooner or later, now the city went through this for about 100 years, and then sooner or later, Nehemiah's extended family came back to him in Persia, and they gave him a report. And this is what it says in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. You're still with me, so I'm still with you. They said to him, they said to me, things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They're in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. The city is in shambles. I mean, it's just rubble. No more gates, no more protection, no more walls. It's embarrassing. It's degrading for the city, and they're just left open for attack. And I try to think of an example, and this is the only thing I can think of. Let's say that your teenager does something wrong this week, and you decide to punish them by taking the door to their bedroom off its hinges and taking the door to their bathroom off its hinges. And that way, there's just no privacy. How embarrassing. How degrading. How vulnerable. That's how the city was. That's how their land was. No walls, no gates, open for attack, just open to be destroyed. And so, verse 4, something happens, and Nehemiah, his heart just starts to break. Notice what it says. When I heard this, Nehemiah said, I sat down and I wept. In fact, for days I mourned and fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. And so basically this is what he's saying. This broke my heart, and so I decided that I'm going to do something about it. And everyone look right here. I talk to a lot of people in this life who say, Tony, I want to do what God wants me to do. In fact, I just want to find God's will, and I just want to do it. Whatever God wants me to do with my life, that's what I want to do. And I always tell people this, if you want to serve God, then find the one thing in this life that breaks your heart and do something about it. If hungry people break your heart, do something about it. If sex trafficking breaks your heart, do something about it. If broken families breaks your heart, do something about it. If abused children break your heart, get up and do something about it. Amen. If homelessness breaks your heart, let's do something about it. Find out what breaks your heart. It probably breaks God's heart too, and let's do something about it. Amen. So that's what Nehemiah said. Nehemiah said, man, this breaks my heart. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do something about it. So the king of Persia notices that Nehemiah is going through a hard time. He goes, what's wrong? He goes, man, my land and my people are going through a tough time. I just want to go back and rebuild my land. I just want to go back and rebuild the city. And rebuild the city walls and replace the city gates. I want to be there for my people. So the king of Persia agrees, sends him back to Israel, and gives him money to rebuild the walls. When Nehemiah gets there, he gathers up all the people, and he has this big vision. By the way, this is what a vision does. A vision always addresses a problem and solves a problem. One of the reasons why we started the Water's Edge is because we had a very specific vision. Love God, love people, serve the city. We exist to tear down walls between God and people who feel far away from God. That's why we're here. And there's a problem in this city, and this is what it is. This morning, over 175,000 people in this city will not walk into a church because they feel judged by religion and hurt by religion and pushed out by religion. 175,000 people in our city want to have nothing to do with church and nothing to do with religion, and they're hurting on the inside. We didn't start the Water's Edge because we needed another church with cool music. We started the Water's Edge because we had a vision to solve a problem. Amen. You feel like religion isn't for you? Here we come, and we're going to love you. Amen. That's what a vision does. A vision identifies a problem and solves a problem. So here's Nehemiah casting this big vision. Our land's been destroyed. The city walls have been destroyed. The city gates have been torn down. Let's do something about it. Now, to the people living in the city, this was good news. But for the bandits outside the city, this made them angry because they wanted to go into the city over and over again and rob it and oppress these people. So they began to attack Nehemiah's workers on the wall, which made this crucial work very difficult. But when they realized that wasn't working, then they thought, if we can just harm or distract Nehemiah, who's also working on the wall, then we can stop this entire thing. Notice how the story plays out. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. If you're still with me, say, I'm still with you. Sanballat, isn't that a cool name? I've never met anyone named Sanballat. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem of Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remained, though we had not yet set up the doors to the gate. So Sanballat of Geshem sent me a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But I realized they were plotting to harm me. They want to harm Nehemiah, And so they sent a group of people to find him and distract him. He was working on the wall with his people. He wasn't one of those types of leaders that said, you do this, you do that. He got his tool belt, he come up on the wall, he started working. And then they sent this distraction. And in verse 3, Nehemiah says something, one thing. He makes a statement. It's an amazing statement. There's this phrase, and the first time I read this phrase years ago, it spoke to my heart in such a way, and it really set me free on the inside. And it really put my life into focus and my future into focus. This one statement, we find so much practical truth, and it can really put our distractions out of the way in our life. And in my life, I've held on to this one truth. I hold on to this truth whenever I'm tempted to give in to instant gratification for today instead of wisdom for tomorrow. I hold on to this truth whenever I'm tempted to grab the right now, the optional, instead of what's essential for tomorrow. Or I like to put it this way, if you're still with me, I'm still with you. Notice this on the screen. I hold on to this truth whenever I'm tempted to want what's right now instead of what I value the most for my life tomorrow. We want pleasure now, but we value guilt-free living tomorrow. We want materialism now, but we value being debt-free tomorrow. We want selfishness now, but we value our relationships being peaceful tomorrow. We want temptation now, but we want peace and strength in our heart tomorrow, and we value that. We want what's optional right now, but we value what's essential for tomorrow. Anytime I'm tempted to abandon what's crucial and what's essential for what's right now for instant gratification, I hold on to this statement. Anytime I'm tempted to chase the temporary and get distracted from the eternal, from my future, I hold on to this statement. And this is what the statement is. We find it in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. If you're ready for it, say, I'm ready. Notice this on the screen. So I replied by sending this message to them. I am engaged in a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? Nehemiah's working on the wall. They send their people to distract him, disrupt him, interrupt him. And Nehemiah basically says, even though this need and this issue is urgent and pressing, something else is more pressing. Something else is more important. Even though what you need to talk to me about is very important and very crucial, it's not as important. I'm doing a great work over here right now, and at this time in my life, I can't be distracted by anything else, even if it's somewhat important. It's not as important because this is what I have to deal with right now. Basically, he says this. He goes, I will no longer be distracted. And I want you to say that after me this morning. Say, I will no longer be distracted. Nehemiah says, man, I can't deal with this. I can't come down right now. I'm doing a great work. Now, real quick, I want you to think about this morning and notice this on the screen. During this season or time in your life right now, what or who is most important to you? Now think about that right now. What or who? What issue? What mission? What purpose? What person? What relationship is the most important to you in your life right now? Now once you get that thing or that person in your mind, again, repeat after me. I will no longer be distracted. I will not be distracted so I can focus on what and who is most important to me right now. Something else, now I want you to think about your main distraction. The main distraction you have in your life that keeps pulling you away from the most important thing in your life. What's your main distraction? Hey, think about it. Get in your heart. Get in your mind. Once you have your main distraction or distractions in your mind, say this again after me this morning. Say, I will no longer be distracted. This goal, this accomplishment, this relationship, this responsibility is so crucial for my life, for my right now, for my future, and so I will no longer be distracted. Look at the rest of verse 3. I love this. Notice what it says. Why should I stop working to come down and meet with you? And I found that that phrase in particular has set me free from so many things. It's been so helpful to me. Nehemiah basically says this, and notice this on the screen. Why would I lower myself, and why should I lower myself for something of less importance? Great question. But why do we do that? Because we get easily distracted. I got two boys, 16 and 10. I'm trying to do a great work with them. I can't come down right now. This needs to be done, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, this is pressing, there's something more pressing. I got two boys. This is a very crucial time in their life. I'm on top of the wall right now. I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. Or this is pressing right now. I got to get out of debt for my family. I'm thinking down the road. If I keep living this way, it's going to end up in a bad place. This is the projection I'm going. So I'm doing a great work right now. This is the only thing I can focus on. I need extra special attention on this area. I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down right now. I'm trying to deal with this habit. If I don't deal with this habit, it's going to continue to hurt and destroy my relationships. I know other things are important, but right now, this is the most important thing. I'm on top of the wall trying to deal with this and I cannot come down to you right now, amen. Why would I lower myself to deal with something of less importance? Now, this wasn't a time thing for Nehemiah. This was a priority and a value thing, which means this. He pre-decided that his time would be focused on one crucial thing at this time in his life so he would not be distracted. Now, if you're still with me, I'm still with you. Think about this on the screen. Are there certain things in your life that if you continue to say yes to, they will continue to distract you from how you want to your life to eventually end up? Are there certain things in your life, and they might not even be bad things, but if you continue to say yes to these things, it's going to hurt how your life eventually ends up. Sometimes we need to look at our schedule and our temptations and say, I will no longer be distracted by you. Sometimes we need to look at our opportunities and our hobbies and say, I will no longer be distracted by you. Sometimes we need to look at our habits and our finances and say, I will no longer be distracted by you. Sometimes we need to look at our financial habits and say, I will no longer be distracted by you. Sometimes we must look at our excuses and our justifications and say, I will no longer be distracted by you. Now, this may be, what I give you next, may be one of the most clarifying questions that you will ever ask yourself in your entire life. This is a very crucial, important question. If you're ready for it, say, I'm ready. Notice this on the screen. What is the most direct path to your preferred future? In your life right now, there's a very simple, direct path to the future that you want for your life, for your future, for your kids, for your family, for your health, for your faith, for your walk with God, for your marriage. Whatever it is important to you in this life. What's the easiest, the simplest, the most direct, what's the wisest path to your preferred future? If you're a student in high school or college, if you're single and dating, what's the easiest, most wisest path to your preferred future? If you're newlyweds or married with kids, what's the most direct path to the future that you really want for your life? If you need a promotion, if you're a single parent, what's the most direct path to the future that you want for your life? If you're in financial debt, if you're trying to overcome a bad habit, what's the most direct path to the future that you really want for your life? If you're wanting God to use you more, if you're wanting your faith to grow, what's the most direct path to the future that you really want for your life? Do not get distracted and don't trade your future for what you want today as far as instant gratification. The easiest way to predict your future is this. It's to go out and create your future by your choices and by your faith. Amen. If you want to know what your future is going to look like, the best way to predict it is to create it by your choices and by your faith. So what's your distraction today? Gossip or criticism? Some of you don't know how to talk unless you're talking about someone else, amen? It's distracting to you. You can't deal with what you need to deal with because you keep focusing on other people. Is that your distraction? Is it habits or laziness? Is it social media? Is it your phone? You know, some of you are on the verge of divorce because you can't put down your phones. I counsel a lot of couples, and sometimes I just want to laugh them out the room. What seems to be the issue? Phone. Okay, well, that's very simple. Put it down. It's not that difficult. Some of the issues that some of you married people are having, if you really sit back and say, if I was to tell a counselor while we're fighting, what would they say? Some of you would have to admit they would laugh me out of the room. They really would laugh me out of the room. It's these distractions that we hold on to that keeps you from focusing on the main thing and the most important thing. It could be a temptation. What's the one thing? What's the one issue? What's the one relationship? What's the one struggle? What's the one responsibility? What's the one person that you know right now, I absolutely must deal with this? That's your one mission. I have to deal with this. Now, identify your main distraction and tell yourself, I will no longer be distracted. Why? Because I'm on top of this wall, and I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down right now. Amen? Sometimes to say yes to God, you have to say no to other things. Sometimes to say yes to peace, you have to say no to other things. Sometimes to say yes to faith, you have to say no to other things. Amen? I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Today, if you'd like to learn more about salvation, baptism, volunteering, giving, men's groups, women's groups. Make your way to our Next Step Center. For the rest of you, why don't you bow your heads this morning? Let me pray with you. Pray for